beautiful day we have today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to act like the kids today and pull this to the side, because I'm height challenged just as some of them are, so it's all good. If you would just take a moment to pray with me. Gracious and merciful God, we just thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. We thank you, O Lord, for being able to be on this side of the earth. And we thank you, Lord, for those who did not make it but blessed their souls. We ask, O God, that as you are here with us today, that our eyes be open, our ears be open, and our hearts, so that we may hear from you, learn from you, and be able to move forward in your name. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So today's title, Holy Spirit, Activate. We already have heard the scripture reading for today, so let us jump right in. So as this chapter begins, it begins with a statement that identifies someone named Theophilus. So we have to turn back to Luke chapter 1, verses 3 through 4, to see that the book of Luke was written to Theophilus as well as this current book. But Acts is written as an extension of the book of Luke, and our studies have told us that Luke was a physician. And we can find that in Colossians 4, where Paul refers to him as the beloved physician. Luke and Paul traveled together, and the fun fact that you will find in Timothy 4:11 was that Paul was in prison while he was writing his letter. And so further study about Theophilus reveals that the name Theophilus means lover of God. So some believe that the name in Luke's writing was symbolic of God's people, and that the two letters, Luke and Acts, were written to the people. Luke was written as a firsthand witness of Jesus' life, his ministry, and Acts was written as a follow-up and up to the arrival of the Apostle Paul. The time period is the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension to heaven. He has continued to perform miracles, spend time with the disciples, and now it's time for him to ascend. Luke writes this book to describe the life and work of Jesus through the work of the disciples. So while the book is historical in nature, there's also a sense of coaching along the way. There's guidance for being a witness. Acts is also where we find the model for the early church. The book of Acts is titled The Acts of the Apostles, but it is really the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through the apostles. And that leads us to today's title, Holy Spirit Activate. So as I studied the passage, I found myself thinking of three things: expectation, empowerment, and expression. Expectation, a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. So a show of hands, who likes to receive gifts? I got two hands. I love to receive gifts. I certainly enjoy receiving gifts, especially useful, practical gifts that have had some thought and meaning put into the choosing and giving, such as how God knew that these two gifts were necessary for our salvation. The first gift being that of Jesus' life sacrificed for the atonement of our sins and transgressions. The second gift, the Holy Spirit, the gift that will guide, lead, and comfort us throughout our lives. There are certain times when we expect to receive gifts. Birthdays, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Earth Day maybe, I don't know. There's an expectation to receive something that we want or need. There is an expectation that someone has been listening or knows us well enough to know what we want. There is an expectation that someone loves us enough or cares for us enough to present us with a gift. God is the one that loves us enough, cares for us enough, and certainly knows us enough to present us with this gift. The second word is empower. The authority or power given to someone to do something. The disciples had been given the authorization to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The expectation was that they would spread the good news of the gospel everywhere they went. The expectation is that we also, as disciples, will be spreading the gospel wherever we go to the ends of the earth. We should be sharing the gospel in the grocery store, within the local organizations that we serve, in school, at work, at the places we volunteer. The mandate is to go out and make other disciples. Are we to bash others on the head with Bibles until they get the message? No. Our witness is evident in the way that we handle ourselves in times of crisis, discord, or turmoil. Our witness is evident in the way that we honor and praise God in all situations, good and even those that are not so good. Our witness is evident in the volunteerism that we engage. And volunteering doesn't always mean you're at the local food bank helping to pack boxes and bags, although that doesn't hurt. You could simply stop what you're doing to help someone you see struggling to put groceries in their car. Being the eyes, ears, hands, arms, legs, and feet of Christ on the ground. Doing this isn't always so easy. So it's when we call on the Holy Spirit to activate, to motivate us, to empower us to do these things. I don't know if you're familiar with the image on the screen. Holy Spirit activate. Anybody seen this before? Okay, I'll tell you about it. I would show the video, but then you'd be too hyped, so I don't want to do that. So this lady was on Family Feud. Everybody know the game show Family Feud? So she and her team had won, and they were going to the final round. So the person before her had answered, you know, the questions that they asked during that round. I don't know what it's called. The challenge round, let's call it that. So they had up to like maybe 185 points. So all she needed to do was get 15 points. So when she came out, you know, Steve Harvey says, oh, so-and-so, Wilson Phillips. This is China Phillips. Anybody know Wilson Phillips? Okay, this is China Phillips. So Wilson had got up to 185 points. So then China comes out, and Steve says, all you need is 15 points, because she got 185 points. So let's go. She said, no, wait. And then she said, Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate. Activate. And she did this dance, little activate. So this is where this comes from, Holy Spirit, activate. Look it up on YouTube and get a good laugh. But she needed that. She called on the Holy Spirit to activate so that she could get those 15 points. And guess what? She got those 15 points. Okay, yay Phillips, all right. So anyway, that's where that comes from, Holy Spirit, activate. So expression is the process of making known one's thoughts or feelings. The scripture lists all the people that chose to spend time, and it said constantly, in prayer. In prayer, a form of expression. A way to express our wants, desires, our needs, our thank yous, our gratitude. Prayer is something we can do locally, individually, collectively, and daily. Prayer is how we communicate with God. And prayers do not have to be formal, written out dissertation or soliloquy. Prayer is just us talking one-on-one with God. He already knows what we want and knows what we need before we say anything. We just need to be open to talking with Him. Verse 14 says, they all join together constantly in prayer. Can you imagine being in constant communication with God? Constantly listening to His voice as you go about your day. As you make your plans for your day, make plans for tomorrow, or encounter situations that require decisions. When you encounter opportunities for talking with other people about knowing who God is, His voice is there. Constantly in prayer does not mean that you're always talking, but perhaps that you're always listening. So I want to take a few minutes and share with you how I see expectation, empowerment, and expression in real life. So in January, we were supposed to have a guest speaker from MCC, or Mennonite Central Committee, for those who are not familiar with who MCC is. But due to inclement weather, we rescheduled the visit, and he was supposed to be here today, believe it or not. But guess what this joker did? He resigned. Like, who told him to do that? So I said, oh, you're leaving us. How unfortunate for us that you're leaving. You know, you go through all that stuff. And then I said, wait a minute. So does that mean you're not going to be at First Mennonite on April 7th? He was like, that's what that means. I was like, oh, okay. So anyway, so as it would have it, I was talking with someone who said, we should really have a rep from MCC. And I said, you know what? In fact, we were supposed to have one on Sunday, but I could do a good thing for you. Let me change into my professional. Thank you. So if you would take a moment and let me introduce myself as your MCC representative for today. I am Rosalyn Young, Program Director for MCC Great Lakes. And I am responsible for managing a team of four individuals, that provide programming across the Great Lakes region. And the Great Lakes region would be Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, Michigan, Illinois, Kentucky, and Tennessee. I had to learn all seven of those so I could say that regularly. So we represent those seven states, and we partner with congregations, churches, and other agencies that provide programming in social justice, mass incarceration, immigration, climate education, and racial equity. We provide a space for partners to meet in community for capacity building. We provide some funding for various programs that our partners are facilitating. We engage with churches and congregations to find out what their needs are and how we can partner with them and walk along the journey with them. We also work with MCC's National Peace and Justice Ministries, providing peace and justice resources, learning tours at the border in southern Texas, as well as an opportunity to engage in a pipeline to prison learning tour. And learning tours are typically a week-long experience that immerses participants in the culture or either real lifelike experiences. And the Great Lakes region is one of four regions of MCC, because MCC is a global international agency with four regional teams that facilitate work locally, while the larger agency is known as MCC US. So I'd like to take a few minutes just to talk about MCC. So for some, this may be an introduction, while for others, this may just be an update for what's happening. And as I said earlier, MCC is the abbreviation for Mennonite Central Committee. So we're gonna go to the website. So here is the website, mcc.org, if you're not familiar. And so this is the page that you see when you first pull it up. If you go to what we do, so MCC for over 100 years has shared God's love and compassion for all through relief, development, and peace. So relief, development, and peace is our tagline, and these are the things that we do. You could go back up to where our impact. It just shows you where we are. We're around the world, but this is not the page. If you go to the little research engine and type in tour report. Yeah, the word report is good. It should pull up our annual report. That's what I'm looking for. The annual report, if you're interested in the countries that we serve, it'll show you that. All right. When I practiced last night, I had it together. All right, anyway, this is the website. We can just go back, Darren, just go back to, you know, the homepage. Or go to, you can try. Annual report, Great Lakes might be gone. Or annual report, just look. Either way, it should pop up. So we're in over 45 countries. We go out and serve, as I said earlier, domestic incarceration work, climate education, and then work control. So climate education. Where we work, Great Lakes, that's fine. We'll go with that. Anybody know Tyler? Tyler Klein? Okay. So Tyler, right, she's part of Great Lakes now. She used to be a summer service worker here at Lighthouse. So that's also a program that we help fund and work with. So if you go to the website, you can see all of these things, and it shows you things that we do, walking with newcomers, helping people find homes. Well, we don't help them find homes, but we help them get what they need to get settled. If they find themselves coming from somewhere else, we work with immigration. We had some people in Chicago. We do a lot of immigration work there and a lot of mass incarceration work. And so we have partners who have founded programs where they assist with families who are going through, more or less, is what that's called, or what we'll call it. So that's the report. That's just not even the report I'm looking for. But nonetheless, that is it. Great Lakes, some of that. So we serve in over 40 countries. There are approximately 1,100 employees, and I cannot even begin to count the number of volunteers that serve MCC. And we have some volunteers right here in this congregation that volunteer with MCC, and some huge supporters of MCC. And we are so grateful for you and your witness to everyone in the community. So much of our work is in large part due to our volunteers, and our volunteers are more than volunteers. You are our partners. They are the people that have chosen to serve others. So we are extremely grateful, and MCC has other ways for young adults to serve. We have summer service, we have the IVET program, which is the International Voluntary Experience Program. I believe those are what the letters for. I'm still new, I've only been here like 6 months, so bear with me. I wanted to go to the thrift store, but that's okay. The thrift store is a huge part of MCC. They have thrift stores across the country and in Canada. And so the thrift stores generate so much money that we are able to help people in all of these countries. Through the thrift stores, the thrift stores have been able to give back like $1 million at a time just to MCC. And so if you've ever been to one of MCC's thrift stores, I am now a big thrifter at the MCC Depot store, and will soon, I'm sure, be hooked to Hartville store because I have to go there from time to time. But the $2 that I spend on a shirt or $1.50 on whatever, those $2 add up, and they've added up so much until the Depot in Goshen, Indiana, was able to give $1 million to Great Lakes this past January. So this happens. I think the Hartville store has given $1 million this year. So at the end of last year, they were able to give $1 million. So when you go to the thrift store, if you don't go, start going and support so I can stay working. So with that, I just want to say the thrift store hosted a learning tour recently back in March, and I was able to be a part of that learning tour. And so that learning tour, we went to Bolivia. And so these people work for thrift stores. I don't work for thrift, but they had an extra spot and said, hey, can you go? And I said, oh, let me check my calendar. And I was able to go. So it just happened to work out. But most of these people work in thrift, with the exception of one person. She lives in Columbus. She is our communications director. And so she went along on the trip too. And so we went to Bolivia, we flew into Santa Cruz, and we stayed in Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz has a low German population, and so the low German population, these people, Horst, and I can't remember his wife's name, but they are our service workers there, and they've been working there for 6 years, but they're gonna end their term this year, and so they're going back to Canada. But they put together this newsletter that they sent out across the world because this is how people communicate with their family members because they don't use telephone. So they can send their information here and they put it in this paper and they send it out. And that's how people learn words and depth and other stuff that's happening in their lives. It was just phenomenal. They also have a children's curriculum that they share, and this children's curriculum is used to teach kids how to read or how to speak. Although it's in German, they do have the English component to the children's curriculum. And so these animals are employees of MCC as well. They stay on the MCC compound in Bolivia, in Santa Cruz. And so that lady, she and her husband Nate are the service workers for MCC in Santa Cruz. And actually, they are leaving too. They are moving to Goshen, Indiana in a couple of months. So we went to visit a low German family. So this here is the family, and this is Horst and his wife that are leaving, and then this is the low German family. They invited us to their home to talk to us about how they don't use electricity. They showed us everything on their car. They do operate a general store, however, but aside from that, everything else, they're living as, without electricity. And I think this son is married, and his wife and children, they also live there on the farm as well. And then the other children aren't quite old enough yet to be married. We also visit San Benito daycare program. We went to several partners just to see the work that we're doing in Bolivia. So this daycare program is called San Benito. This scripture is the scripture that says, train a child up in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. And so, of course, it's written in Spanish, and I don't have that skill yet. I'm not going to do a refresher from high school.
And we just spent time there with the daycare. We ate lunch with the kids and the other African children. And then the teachers are have degrees. And one of the things that the teachers, any staff person, not just teachers, but the staff also have to be members of the Mennonite Congregation for 5 to 4 years. So this is a faith-based program, and they only want people that are Mennonite. But they had a volunteer who was not Mennonite, and he said, well, we're not going to be there, so we better come. So that was fun to be there with them. And then this is Casa de la Amistad. It means House of Friendship. And this place is, I don't have pictures of the children that were there. The after school program that had an outfit all day. But there, school was half a day for one of the kids. The rest of the half a day, the other half a day for the children. And so we didn't take pictures of those children. But if you are part of this program, your parent could be incarcerated. So this is the children who have incarcerated parents. And they provide social skills for them, social service, resources, and whatever they might need. But this building sits like here, and right across the street, like on the next block, was the prison. Was the male's prison, and then the female prison was across from that. And so their parents literally could be there. So to keep them from being at the prison all day, every day, visiting their parents and whatnot, they provided this program right across the street for them to come to. And the kids love each other, and you can see the camaraderie they built with one another at the program. And so this is an agroecological urban garden. We visited several gardens. We have partners who have worked with families to teach them how to grow their own food, how to create their own greenhouses, so they provided them with the materials and the resources to build their own greenhouse, and then how to plant and how to grow and how to nurture their crops. And in that, they take some of their food for themselves. These two particular gardens, they take the food for themselves, and then they will take some to the marketplace and sell it in the marketplace. And then they have what they call the it's kind of like a co-op, so they get to sell what's there and keep some of the proceeds for themselves, but they also work the store, so they don't have to employ people to do it. They take turns and rotate. So they not only sell food, but people make other things. Look at everything I have today. I bought it at the store, but I'm a shopper, so I had to buy something. And they make jewelry, other stuff, purchase, and then we have food that, and we also ate there too. We wanted to keep it 7 days a year from the proceeds of the big garden. So we visited other farms. These farms were in El Alto, which was a hydro plant, so Santa Cruz is coming down here, and El Alto went up. So the higher up we went, the higher the altitude, we were at to like 13,000. And so these are the mountains that we were walking up to get to where these farms were. And they weren't, it wasn't an easy walk. But here, so those are some of the people that were on the tour. These are actual people that live up those mountains. And the lady in the front, they have a dog with them. She's walking, she's taking for a walk. Yeah, I'm in charge of these are mine. I was like, okay, you the shepherd, go ahead, do your thing. So she was walking with the sheep up there. Then we just have some animals that we saw along the way, along that walk up there. And then these are other farms where these people also are part of the partnership that are teaching people how to raise and grow their own food. And so we were in El Alto. These are just some pictures of, and you really can't see this one well, but these are like all the houses. They look like they're just so close together, and there's so many of them, and they just go up the mountains. And so people have to walk up these mountains because there's no other way to get up there. So to walk up there, like, before me, once I get up there, I'm not coming back down unless I absolutely have to, because you got to make that walk back up. But they were walking up and down to go to where they had to go, and the city was just so busy and bustling. It was almost like being in New York City. And so we had to take the cable car to get from Costa Bamba up to El Alto, and from El Alto to La Paz, so all of that. this El Cristo is a 100-foot statue. It's like over 100 feet long. So while the Bible tells us to have graven images, we were there to that. We were just there to see, because this is a tourist attraction. And so we were there to see this 100-foot statue. And it is huge, it's humongous. And so I'd like to share my reflections from that trip. As we were there, one program I forgot to mention is called FUBE. It is a program that works with victims of sexual assault, and the victims of sexual assault are children. So they work with juvenile victims of sexual assault, and they provide for them resources to help them, you know, deal with what they've experienced. And so we certainly didn't take pictures there because, you know, for safety reasons. And there was also another site we went to. It's a college. We went to the university, and there are university students who are excited and engaged in making the world better through climate control. And so they have three greenhouses. And they started out as two or three students who said, oh, we want to, you know, grow our own, we want to do this. And now it's expanded to like 30 people in the program. And they all stood around. It was a little chilly that day. And they all stood around with no coats on to tell us about this, you know, great thing that they're doing in their community. So it was really awesome to see them do that. So anyway, oftentimes we donate money to various organizations, including the church. And we want to know, where are our dollars going? Are they being used as they are intended? And as a participant on the learning tour, I can see where our donations are going. Our donations assist with providing education and materials about planting, growing organic vegetation for consumption. It was a joy to see the smiles and the pride that each of these ladies had when they spoke with us. Some of the programs were for women only, like their base were women who then took on the charge to grow these vegetables in their yards. We asked questions about the process, the building of the greenhouse, the soil, and they lit up as they answered each question and explained to us those things that needed further explanation. It certainly was an opportunity for learning for all of us. But being a participant on this learning tour is an experience that I will not soon forget. We visited many partners in such a short time, and if I had to choose any one particular project that stood out to me, I can't. But what I can say is that the partners that work with women and families to grow their own food was awesome. These people are giving women the opportunity to learn skills and knowledge to become self-sufficient and to live off what the earth sustains and provides. I recall early in my academic career when I was attending college and had to write a paper, and I titled the paper, Pride of Ownership. The paper was a reflection of obtaining my degree. It was something that I was earning, and no one could take the degree away from me once I earned it. But better yet, no one can take away the knowledge I gained from the courses and the coursework. That was something that I owned and was proud to have it. The women beamed with pride when they spoke about their work. The knowledge and experience is something that no one will ever be able to take away from them. And seeing them show us their gardens and allowing us to take pictures of their yield reminded me of the old proverb, give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish, and they will eat for a lifetime. These women have learned how to fish, and it felt good to know that the few dollars we spend in the thrift store when I buy an item for $2, adds up and is used to help others become self-sufficient. And all of this, God is at work. He's at work in the lives of these women, and each one that we spoke with said that as they tend to the soil and plant seeds and weed their gardens, they feel a sense of spirituality. They feel closer or connected to God through their work. Expectation, empowerment, expression. MCC's mission and goal is an expectation to provide relief, development, and peace in the name of Christ. With the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we strive to meet people where they are, walk alongside them in their work. We provide resources to empower them to reach their goals. The results of achieving their goals is a form of expression. So as the disciples were praying constantly in verse 14, so are we, praying for each and every one that partners with MCC in some form or fashion. Whether it's by volunteering, making a donation, or being supported
by MCC Resources. I ask you to join me in prayer for MCC volunteers, donors, partners, and staff, and especially the Executive Director, Ann Hershberger, as she has decisions to make that affect the lives of not only employees, but those that we serve. And if you are interested in more information about how to become involved with MCC or any of that in my official MCC Program Director capacity today, feel free to ask me or go to our website. So with that, I thank you for that opportunity to allow me to talk about MCC and to talk about how I see expression, empowerment, and what's the last word? Y'all weren't paying attention? Oh, okay, thank you, expectation, right. So taking those three words, when I read that text, and I just thought, yeah, there is some expectation. We all have expectations in something that we do, or expectations of someone, and I believe we certainly have expectations of God. There are things that we want to see him do. So when we talk about God at work, or how we'd like to see God at work, that's an expectation. And then the Holy Spirit empowers us to do those things that we've been called to do, or those things that we want to do. And those things that you feel like you have a purpose or been led to do, you didn't just think of that on your own. There's a little nudging from somewhere. It's part of that Holy Spirit talking to you. And then we have expression. How is it that you will express those things that you've been called to do? So with that, I say thank you so much, and God bless.